Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Could you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the silly? Oh, permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Friday to you, boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
Well, that's all that really matters. And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Need to know what it takes for a home loan to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can. Target Demo Friday, everybody. Let me know where you're listening, how you're listening, and what you're up to. And I'll read through those coming up 45 minutes from now. Target Demo Friday is one of my favorite days, one of my favorite segments that we do here on the show. This has an origin story of when we started on overnights. I was working in Boston in 98.5, the sports hub there. And it was really a wonderful thing for my career to be put in a major market like that with a radio station that was doing tremendous ratings. It was the flagship home of the Patriots and the Bruins. I was there covering the Patriots going to Super Bowls and the Bruins winning a Stanley Cup for the first time since the Bobby Orr years. And it really was an enormous, great fortune for my career. And at that time, in October of 2012, CBS, and we were owned by CBS, 98.5 The Sports, have reached out to me and asked me if I'd be interested in a new network that they were going to launch, a syndicated nationally broadcast sports radio network. And it was a dream of mine always. I always loved local radio. I still love local radio very dearly because of the very intimate bond that you can have with your listeners. And to go out and meet them face to face and be in the community. And I never took that for granted. I always loved that so much. But being on a syndicated network and being heard across the country was always a dream of mine. So I jumped at it, absolutely. Before even asking what time slot they wanted me for, I just said, yes, whatever it is, I'm in. Well, eventually they sorted out the pieces of the puzzle on the network and they said, we're going to make you the overnight show. And I was like, okay, yeah, I'm in. What are those hours? 2A to 6A. All right, I'm down. Let's do it. And when I would tell people, I'm leaving the job here in Boston. Oh, congratulations, you got another job. Where are you going? I said, I'm going to go to the network. Well, that's wonderful. When are you going to be on? I said, overnights. And they said, who's going to listen to you in overnights? And I had to say, I don't know. I don't know. And I said, well, you know what? If we're going to do overnights, then I want to know why everybody's listening in the middle of the night to me. What's going on in your life that you have so little options that you are listening to me? So that was the birth of Target Demo Friday. Where you are, how you're listening, and what you're doing. And that has been now an ongoing series on Fridays for nearly 8 years, which I'm very proud to say here on the network. So through four different time slots, each of one progressively a little bit better, we are still doing this. So get your Target Demo Fridays in right now on Twitter, DA on CBS. Again, DA on CBS or on Facebook, facebook.com/TheDA Show. you'll see the meme of Mraz as now pack a farmer. And so you'll know where to leave your information. Our next guest is a director of a new documentary sports film called Maybe Next Year. And it's about the devotion of NFL fans, specifically the devotion of Eagles fans to a Philadelphia football team that had not won a championship since 1960 and had never won a Super Bowl. And 2017 was an incredible year for that city, an incredible year for Eagles fans. And I think in a lot of ways, an incredible year for football in general, because it was another example of a long tortured franchise finally having its moment. The documentary looks amazing. And you know that I personally love stories of fan redemption, and this is the ultimate. Maybe Next Year is right now available on Apple TV, Amazon Prime Video, Vudu, Google Play, and Vimeo On Demand. Joining us is Kyle Thrash. Kyle, good morning.
Good morning, DA. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for joining us. The overwhelming theme of Eagles fans up until 2017 was pain. A lot of passion, but a lot of pain. Good, but never great. Either run over by the Cowboys or Washington or the Giants of the division when they finally got to the Super Bowl, losing to the Raiders in 1980, losing to the Patriots in the Andy Reid years. Good, but never great. When you first started looking into this, how much pain were you prepared to uncover amongst Eagles fans?
I mean, I was looking to go deep. I was looking to, you know, kind of explore, you know, that where that pain comes from, where that passion comes from, why people care so much, you know, why we have such a rabid fan base and, you know, still going to the tailgates with, you know, huge, you know, SUVs and putting on face paint despite never winning that championship. And, you know, what's tough about the Eagles franchise is that it feels like they're always close. They're always fighting, even in this division this year, you know, where the whole division isn't great, you know, they're still fighting. And, you know, I think it's harder when you're constantly getting close, but you just can't get that. I think that pain runs deeper then.
You're right, because you can't emotionally check out. You know, if you're a Browns fan, if you're a Bengals fan, if you're a Lions fan, you can regularly check out because your season is over by October. But for Eagles fans, they're always very good. There's always the hope. They're regularly in the playoffs. They're getting deep into the playoffs, but never getting there. I mean, Andy Reid lost, what, four consecutive or three consecutive NFC Championship games on the doorstep of the Super Bowl. So when you do a profile on Eagles fans, everybody thinks of all the bad stuff, throwing snowballs at Santa Claus and the jail underneath the veteran stadium. Do Eagles fans feel as though they are misunderstood?
I think they feel like they're misrepresented. I feel like people think that they're uneducated, which I think is, you know, is false. I think I think the fans actually are very educated to the point that that's why they care so much. You know, they know that it's, you know, on paper, these teams should win. You know, they know that they have the right pieces, but that, you know, it's, we're just not putting it over, you know, we're not getting that championship. We're not getting over that hump. So I think, you know, that pain, you know, becomes bigger. And then, you know, I think sometimes when you care a lot, I think sometimes, you know, you get, you know, you might take it too far. You might, you know, that passion might get the best of you. And I think the national media, you know, likes to, you know, kind of make Eagles fans into a caricature and mention those things that you mentioned. And I think what I wanted to show was that there's a lot of heart there. You know, there's a lot of passion there that I think because we're not New York City and, you know, and we're not Washington with the capital, like, we care about sports in Philadelphia. You know, this is what we have. This is our identity. This is how we prove, you know, this is how we prove to people that we're worth something, I think, in this town. I think it is through our sports. It's what, you know, it's where we get our pride. So I think, you know, I think sometimes that can get taken a little bit too far. But I think when you look around the country, I think every city, you know, can kind of take it too far sometimes.
Kyle Thrash joins us, the director of a documentary on Eagles fans and their redemption with that Super Bowl run maybe next year, which is available on demand. I like that you say we. You are part of this. You're not just an outsider looking at things. So what was your indoctrination into Eagles or Philadelphia fandom pain?
Oh, man. So the way my mom likes to tell it is that when she was in the delivery room, when I was being born. She had the Phillies game on, and Lenny Dykstra hit a double literally when I was coming into this world. So I was kind of destined to be a Philly sports fan. Mm-hmm. And growing up, I had, you know, I had the Andy Reid, you know, years, and that was, you know, it was difficult. Like I said, like, you know, Andy Reid's an amazing coach. You see that now in Kansas City. You know, and you saw it in Philadelphia that it's tough to not, you know, to not get there. So for me, those were my years, and I felt like I wanted to kind of, you know, find characters that, you know, four characters that kind of represented different sides of fandom to kind of explore some of that pain and explore some of that, you know, some of that beauty that comes with being a fan and the psychology of fandom, you know, whether it's anger or, you know, or legacy. You know, one of our characters, you know, his dad's, you know, passing away from cancer, and it's the last Super Bowl that he's going to be able to see. So, you know, you're wondering if he's, you know, he's going to, you know, if they're going to finally do it. And then he has a son that he's trying to teach football to, and he has autism. So it's, you know, trying to pass on that legacy the way it was passed on to me, and kind of show off, you know, again, where a lot of that, there's a lot of heart. And I feel like I think that's something the media doesn't always show. And that's something I wanted to show in the documentary.
I've been to an Eagles game at the Vet, and I've been to a Phillies game at Citizens Bank Ballpark. And one of the things that struck me was how diverse the crowd is. Everybody is really into it. Everybody, it matters, and it matters a lot. But you have all types of people from old to young, male and female, black and white, all different sides of the ethnic spectrum. It is truly a melting pot when you go to an Eagles or a Phillies game and you're just seeing everybody, and I'm sure the same thing for Sixers game, et cetera. How much does sports itself bond the city for people that might not have anything else in common?
Yeah, you know, during that Super Bowl run, I've never seen anything like that in the city of Philadelphia. I mean, you saw the whole city come together in a way, you know, and we had, you know, we had something to come together for. Now, I feel like, you know, I know Carson has had his struggles this year, but he was having an MVP season that year. And if he goes through the playoffs, I think the city still comes around. I think they're just, you know, they're really excited. But there was something about being called an underdog. You know, you see it, you know, I think you saw it, you know, a couple of weeks ago with the election, that, you know, when the national media wants to paint Philadelphia a certain way, you know, the city kind of pushes back. And I feel like being the first number one seed to be an underdog going into the playoffs and Nick Foles when we're facing Atlanta, I think the city took that personally. And they came together and said, these are our guys. Nick Foles is our guy now. He's going to do it. And I think, you know, it took a second to believe, you know, we were worried, you know, but once he, you know, that Minnesota game was really a spectacular performance. So I felt like going into the Super Bowl, you know, those 2 weeks leading up to it, you know, the whole city came together in a way I've never seen before. You know, there's the Boston Market in Philadelphia. They put up a Philly sign, so it was the Philly Market. I mean, there's things like that just around the city, just signs and memorabilia, just the whole city coming together in a way. And like you said, it's just it's people from all different backgrounds and ethnicities. So it really was a beautiful thing. And I think hopefully the documentary can kind of show how a city can kind of come together through sport.
Kyle Thrash is the director of Maybe Next Year, a documentary on the Eagles fandom and that redemption with the Super Bowl in 2017, available right now on demand. You know, finally, it was the most Philly way to do it. If you're going to break this streak, if you're going to finally get out of the dumps and do it, it's going to be when all seems lost and Carson Wentz goes down and Nick Foles has to come in and you have to go on the road. You have to win the playoffs, and then, of course, well, you don't have to go on the road to the playoffs, but you have to go and play the Patriots in the Super Bowl and the great Tom Brady on a night where Brady throws for 500 yards, and you need a trick play with Philly, yeah. And you need it all to come down. And then, of course, the would-be Hail Mary of Brady, the strip sack by Brandon Williams, et cetera. It just, all of it has to come together like that. It was the perfect way to finally win. Was that ending for that redemption the story that you couldn't even write if you wanted to for your documentary?
No, I mean, it was magical. You know, even when you look at Super Bowls, right, like you were kind of just proving that, you know, it was a great Super Bowl. The next year, you know, it was the Rams, you know, the Rams Patriots Super Bowl, which, you know, we could have gotten that, you know, a really slow, you know, dull, low scoring game, but instead we got this great shootout, you know, with a great, you know, with highs and lows, a trick play, you know, and again, redemption, right? Like, it could have not been the Patriots, which still would have made, you know, it just, you know, really special to win our first Super Bowl. But instead we get revenge. Instead we get the best quarterback to ever do it. Instead we get the best coach to ever do it. So it really, you know, looking at what I was capturing and being in the right place at the right time, I really couldn't believe it. Like, when the clock struck zero as an Eagles fan, I'm like, that just happened. And then I realized there's a huge responsibility to Philadelphia and to Eagles fans, and, you know, to make sure that I'm capturing this right. So we're running to Broad Street and everyone's running and making sure that all the cameras are in the right place to kind of capture this once in a lifetime moment. So I hope everyone checks the documentary out, because I feel like, if nothing else, it's a kind of perfect time capsule for what it was like in the city that year.
Yeah, very cool. I love documentaries and storytelling like this around sports, because it does capture a true moment. Maybe Next Year is available right now. Apple TV, Prime Video, Vudu, Google Play, and Vimeo On Demand. Kyle Thrash is the director. Kyle, this is cool, man. The movie looks awesome. I can't wait to check it out. I appreciate you dropping on by.
Thanks, Dee. I appreciate it, man.
My pleasure. Kyle Thrash joining us this morning here on the show. When we come back, more on the NFL. Huge one between the Packers and the Colts this weekend. How will the Packers look against that elite Indy defense? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Little drippy 24/7. DA on CBS Sports Radio.
So glad you're with us. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. It's time to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly. Better parts, better prices every day. Our question comes to us from Tim in Seattle. DA, what do you think about my Seahawks? Do you think that Seahawks defensive effort last night could lead to a deep Super Bowl run? Do they get this thing fixed? Well, for a night they did. Last night they were phenomenal. And last night they needed that desperately. Because the last time these two teams played, remember, that was the crazy Buda Baker chased down by DK Metcalf game that ultimately was a win for the Cardinals, because Kyler Murray went off. Murray went for nearly 400 yards passing and nearly another 100 yards rushing. And simply put, the Seahawks defense looked like they were on ice skates the entire night. And this had to be a redemption night for the Seahawks defense. It had to be. If they allowed Kyler Murray to embarrass them again, not only was it going to help bury their chances to win the division, because they would have taken another loss, but also would have been swept by the Cardinals. So they would lose that tiebreaker, having just lost to the Rams last weekend in their divisional race. But also, it would be a Seahawks defense that kept getting pounded, pummeled, and publicly shamed. And when that happened, that the defense was battered, injured, and giving up big plays, it forced Russell Wilson into some bad decision-making, some careless throws or not taking care of the football and turnovers. And ultimately, that's where it all kind of fell apart. And last night was the exact opposite. It was the antidote to everything that has happened for the Seahawks over the last 3 or 4 weeks. It was a very steady defensive effort. You had Bobby Wagner, who's been there for the very good days, the Legion of Boom days, saying he's taken it personally. It's hurt him in his soul that the defense is no longer a strength, but the butt of jokes and the weakness of the team. Being able to confuse Kyler Murray, forcing him into some bad throws, forcing him to never feel comfortable, no space to run as well. They closed off all those running lanes, and then allowing Russell Wilson to not have to come from behind and do crazy things and try to do too much. The end of the first half, it could have been worse as well, because DK Metcalf has that touchdown that hits him in the face mask. You never see that, just flat drops, so they got to settle for the field goal. But ultimately, Russell Wilson didn't have to do too much. Threw two touchdowns, no picks, but the defense comes up with a big spot and sacks Kyler Murray on that would-be final play. So it was a great effort from the Seahawks defense. I can't say they're fixed. I can't say I feel great about them in January, But I can say that that's a good step forward, showing us that that at least is their potential, that they have that possibility in them if they play and are prepared as well as they were last night. Now, there's another big one in the NFL coming up this week, and there's a couple of big ones, but now we're getting into potential playoff matchups, or two teams that, if they're not in the same conference to play in the same postseason, have both playoff potential. And that's going to happen this weekend in Indy between the Packers and the Colts. This one is very, very big because the Packers, obviously, at 7-2, are trying to hold on to that number one seed of the NFC. There's only going to be one bye this year in the playoffs, one each conference. So you've got to be the top seed overall. Could be the Saints. Could be the Packers. Could be a team in the NFC West. Could be the Bucs. If you're the Packers, trying to hold on to that number one slot is huge. So they're 7-2 on the road. But also, it's a Packers team that has shown a penchant for being MIA. It has shown multiple times this season of having trouble getting going or just flat not showing up. We saw this after the first quarter against the Buccaneers when the Packers just had a complete no-show. We're not here. Buccaneers, you do whatever you want. We saw this in the loss to the Vikings, a Minnesota season that was lost, and the Packers just flat out didn't show up. We saw this last week against the Jaguars, to be quite frank. Green Bay finds a way to win, but that first half was trying to rustle them out of bed. Hey, wake up, guys. Your alarm's going off. It's time to play football here, guys. We've seen it a couple of times this year. Now, maybe you want to look at the injuries, the offensive line. That's fine. But Aaron Rodgers, Adams, and the rest of his weapons on offense shouldn't have that tough a time regularly over the first nine games getting going. Because we've seen them when they do get going. They're phenomenal. They take on an elite Colts defense. This is one of, if not the best defense in the NFL. The Colts, who knows what to believe in them. They are bad enough to lose to the Jaguars opening weekend. But they are good enough to have pounded the Titans last week. They are bad enough to get pounded by the Ravens, but they're good enough to have won 5 of 6 games in the middle of their season. I have a hard time completely buying in on Phillip Rivers. I got a tough time believing that when it really comes down to it, Rivers suddenly just becomes a game manager and responsible and doesn't make a bad decision or a bad throw or is able to make a big throw in a playoff game. But the Colts can do a lot of damage just simply with their defense and simply with their ground attack. In their division, the AFC South, only one team has allowed less than 200 points on the season. In fact, only one team has allowed less than 230 points, and that's Indianapolis, who's allowed only 177. They are by far one of the best defenses in all of the NFL. And so Rodgers versus a great defense is a wonderful matchup. And I think this Colts defense could really put a scare into the AFC if they prove on Sunday that they're willing and able to shut down a very good elite Packers offense. Because when you look around the AFC, if you are the Colts, that's got to be your game-changing dynamic because you're not going to outscore anybody. You've got the Chiefs in the AFC. You've got the Steelers in the AFC. You've got Josh Allen and the Bills in the AFC. You've got the Ravens in the AFC if they can figure it out how to get it going. Those are great offenses when clicking. The Colts can only go as far as their defense takes them. And this is a huge challenge coming up on Sunday. Mraz, do you think that this Colts D is elite enough to shut down the Packers on Sunday?
No, I don't. I think they're really good, obviously, and I think they might be the best defense in the league, but I still don't buy this as a 2000 Ravens-type defense or even the 49ers of last year, where I think versus elite quarterback play, and that's what you would expect from Aaron Rodgers in this spot, versus a team, and this is the ultimate question, we brought this up and up the gut, are the Packers going to care enough? Because last week we saw versus the Jaguars, they didn't. I'm still going to take the quarterback and Aaron Rodgers to make sure that he could do what he wants, so to speak, with this Colt defense in the fourth quarter if things are getting tight and getting dicey. Do I think this is going to be a free-for-all or Rodgers thrown all over the place the whole game? No. But elite defenses shut it down at elite times, and I'm not sure that the Colts, and I don't believe the Colts are going to be able to do that push come to shove if this is a tight game in the fourth quarter.
Colts have the third best points allowed ranking in the NFL. You might be able to guess the other one. Well, one of the two teams that are above them, the Pittsburgh Steelers. Steelers, obviously, an elite defense, the only undefeated team. I bet you wouldn't be able to guess the team that's allowed the fewest points this year, Mraz.
It's not the Bears?
It is not the Bears.
I don't know.
They rank very high in almost every defensive metric, and I was surprised to see them there because we don't talk about them very often, but they have the best player in the NFL and the best defensive player in the NFL. The Rams. Aaron Donald and the Rams have allowed fewer points than anybody else in the NFL. They are second in yards allowed behind only the Colts. They are third in sacks this season. They rank very high in almost every defensive metric, but we don't really talk about them. And you and I have spoken, though, about how Sean McVay's offense isn't the old Rams offense anymore. It's not this wide-open, explosive offense that we remember from the first year of Sean McVay. But they're winning a lot of games, and they're staying in this playoff hunt, and that actually is a lot about the defense. So when you see a conservative Sean McVay play calling, I think that might have a lot to do with it, Mraz. They've got a defense. He knows he's got a defense that can keep him in every game, and he doesn't want to throw them out of those games.
Well, that's an ever-changing head coach then, and if that's what McVay has, because the defense has played that great, and obviously Jalen Ramsey's made a change, that's a testament that his ego about his offensive genius, so to speak, isn't getting in the way of what matters for his team when it comes to winning games.
Surprising, though, right? We don't talk about the Rams as one of the best defenses in football.
Yeah, and obviously you know that they are a good defense, but to be in the top three, I would not have guessed that, no. Because they get no love, and I guess that's just because when you think Rams, you think, yeah, there's Aaron Donald, but you're thinking offense.
I think that's right, and I think also the Rams haven't had a lot of those big signature primetime wins this year. There just hasn't been a lot of those, oh yeah, they dominated a really good team. So they've kind of like been around the fringe of the playoffs. They're also not the class of the NFC West. Very obviously, we've put the Seahawks and the Cardinals as the two teams that feel like the more exciting two teams in the NFC West. And the Niners fell off a cliff this year. So they're kind of the afterthought of the division, I think.
Right. When they did go to the Super Bowl not that long ago. Interesting team to keep an eye on.
Speaking of the entire NFL slate, Andrew Bogish gets us ready for a big football weekend. Mr. Bogues has our headlines. Where do we begin?
DA, we begin with Ace Hardware. Get free assembly and delivery on all grills and accessories. $3.99 and up from Ace. Offer valid for Ace Rewards members through December 25th. See participating stores for details. The Arizona Cardinals keep doing the slow starts that they sometimes overcome, but not last night in Seattle on Thursday Night Football.
Hey, Cliff, is there anything you can pinpoint that's kind of been the reason for some of the slow starts you've had against some in these games?
No.
Moving on then, the Cardinals played from behind almost all night, finally losing to the Seahawks 28-21 when Carlos Dunlap sacked Kyler Murray with 34 seconds left. That capped off the best defensive effort of the Seahawks season. Murray sacked three times, only ran for 15 yards, only connected with DeAndre Hopkins five times for 51 yards. Pete Carroll's offense finally had some balance. Russell Wilson threw for two scores, and they ran for a buck 65.
Offense played really efficient, no turnovers, which was great. 160-something yards rushing. Rush was really efficient tonight and really sharp, ran well when he had his chances. It was just a really good night of football.
Wilson without a turnover after 10 in their previous four games. But there is this. Seahawks tight end Greg Olsen may have suffered a season-ending torn plantar fascia in the win. NBA free agency begins at 6 Eastern today. Gordon Hayward will be on the market after declining his $34 million option in Boston. Signing long-term with the Celtics is apparently not out of the question. The Knicks and Hawks also said to be interested. The Warriors reportedly closed to trading for Thunder guard Kelly Oubre Jr. He'd help fill the void created by Klay Thompson's torn right Achilles. A former Penn State football player is suing the school, accusing former teammates of sexual assault. Isaiah Humphreys has told investigators that head coach James Franklin once told him not to talk to police about what was going on because it could hurt linebacker Micah Parsons, who is headed for the NFL, and Parsons is one of the players accused by Humphreys of assault. The school says Franklin completely denies this and it will continue to, quote, defend him vigorously. On the field, the Pac-12 now allowing schools to schedule a non-conference opponent if they lose a league foe to COVID-19. However, there are restrictions, including if a Pac-12 opponent becomes available by Thursday afternoon, the school must drop that non-con game and play that new league opponent. And as Connor so expertly told us earlier this morning, number 25 Tulsa fought off Tulane 30-24 in double OT, the Golden Hurricane winning on a 96-yard pick six after forcing OT with a 37-yard Hail Mary. 18-year-old U.S. soccer star Gio Reyna signs an extension through 2025 with his German club Borussia Dortmund, and the MLS playoffs begin tonight. New England, Montreal, 6:30, Nashville, Miami at 9. DA, back to you.
Very cool. Well done. Thanks, AB. When we come back, it's a Target Demo Friday. We get to hear from you guys, where you are, how you're listening, and what you're up to. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
It's a Friday fiesta. Here's what our listeners in the Target Demo are up to.
Target Demo Friday. Love to know what you guys are up to as you listen to the show. On Twitter, we begin with a Bryant listening in from my front end loader in Central PA. Feeling good, in the process of buying my first house. Hashtag beam me up. Congratulations, Bryant. Great feeling, my man. Enjoy it. Historical benchmark life moment, and you're in for a world of hurt for the rest of your life owning a house. Mr. Fahrenheit tweets, so when Mraz becomes Skidmark, the naked monster truck driver, and his rival becomes Sean Forash, a.k.a. Skid Fark, who drives a monster truck in a two-piece bikini instead of being naked like Mr. Original? Hashtag with bacon.
The Capuettos and the, I forgot the other team, the Mariettas.
With Bacon!
There is a casting call out for Do You Want to Be a Monster Truck Driver reality show. And we are pitching Mraz for it. And he's going to go as, under the pseudonym, Skidmark. Sunday. Gravedigger takes on the only naked driver on the circuit. His underwear shredded. Just like the opponent. It's Skidmark.
Can you look at yourself in the mirror?
Civic Center. Sunday. Mac and Bear tweets, good morning, DA and the crew. Listening on radio.com, making local deliveries in New Jersey. Great to hear Badlands Booker. He's a legend. Have a great weekend. Hashtag big props.
My brain just sucks.
Badlands Booker was amazing yesterday, telling us that there is a comic book drawn about him in which he is a superhero that saved the world against the veggie lady with an intergalactic seismic burp. That's a comic book I need. Alien OG tweets, just thinking about Mraz eating Chinese food and Pop-Tarts in the same meal makes me nauseous. Clean it up, Mraz. Hashtag Target Demo Friday.
My 2015 Subaru Forester.
Ed tweets, DA, every time Mraz shares a story about himself, I'm reminded of Elaine saying to George in Seinfeld, ah, another piece of the puzzle is revealed.
I see skinny people with sweatpants every day.
That's how we all feel. Ah, so that's why that happens. Caleb tweets, in Minnesota, listening on radio.com while working, while tolerating coworkers until 10:30 to start deer hunting weekend early. Hashtag Target Demo Friday.
4227.
Lonnie tweets, happy Friday, eh? I'm at work in Arizona, listening on radio.com. Been a fan of the mothership for over 3 years now. It just keeps getting better. Thanks for all the great memories. You guys rock. Hashtag Target Demo Friday.
It's called Dunlap disease. That's when the gut Dunlaps over the belt.
Adam is in Tomahawk, Wisconsin on radio.com on my way into work to sling some cell phones. Hashtag, can you hear me now? Hashtag, beam me up.
Fuamatu Mahafala.
Ray is on iHeartRadio just waiting for the weekend in Buffalo. And I don't want to hear nothing about Philly fans' pain. Try being a Bills fan, buddy. Hashtag go Bills.
Pro boner.
Cleveland Sports Gonzo tweets, DA listing in Cleveland on radio.com. Working, putting up these all dressed up ruffles on the shelves. Mraz, they're back. By the way, the first Target demo Friday you read of mine was when I became a father to my firstborn son. He's six. Love the show. Holy cow. We've been doing Target demo Friday so long that one of our first Target demo Fridays, or his first Target demo Friday read, was 6 years ago. That's amazing.
Daddy's always happy.
Daddy's always happy. On Facebook, Edward writes, every morning I'm on the radio with you guys. Always got you guys on. Love this meme of Mraz is an alpaca farmer. You ever hear how people look like their pets? Well, Mraz looks like an alpaca here. Hashtag beam me up.
Fuamatu Mahafala.
Andrew Kaplan, the Wizard of Watch DA, whipping up the alpaca farmer meme for Mraz is fantastic. John tweets in, or writes on Facebook, I've been trying to call in the last 3 days. I feel like a kid trying to reach Santa Claus before Christmas. Hashtag answer the phone. Target demo Friday.
It doesn't matter who we are. What matters is our plan.
Sorry, John. We'll be on the lookout coming up on Monday's show, although I can never guarantee anything because Pete the Body Bilotti just sometimes lets that ring off the hook. But I will tell Pete on Monday to look for John and John's call. Because he's been trying us for a couple of days. Not right to let him keep calling and letting it ring. Rick writes, I listen to the awesome show every morning on CBS Sports Radio. Me and the missus will be doing a little day drinking in our sweatpants in honor of Mraz. Hashtag a little wet, little drippy. Hashtag beam me up.
I see skinny people with sweatpants every day.
How about this for Mike? I'm sitting in my car in North Africa listening on the radio.com app. Waiting for my kids to get out of school and start the weekend, the sweatpants will go on tomorrow. Wow. Mike is listening in North Africa to the show.
Whoa. What time is it there?
Talk about a mind warp. I guess it must be late afternoon. My guess is it's 7 or 8 hours ahead of time.
So we're afternoon drive in North Africa?
I guess so.
Happy being alive day.
Wow.
I'd say. That's pretty awesome. And what is he seeing as he listens to the show in North Africa? What is the sight? What is the visual like?
A real safari, not the one I went to.
Although I'm sure his kids don't go to school in a safari.
No. Well, it's probably like a regular town. I mean, it's a close safari. You could definitely get to a safari. Go to
school, we need more
go to
details.
Safari, done for the day.
Mike, we need more details. Kyle's in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, 100.3 on the radio. I'm a plumber. I listen to you guys all morning to and from jobs. Hashtag Target Demo Friday.
Sean McVay's a hunk.
Oh, yeah, he sure is. Alan, scuba, Mrs. or Miss, Sirius XM, channel 206. I'm at work. I listen to y'all every day during and coming home from work. Hashtag Target Demo Friday. Love it.
It's Fry-yay!
Everybody is fat.
Oh, wow. It's a Fry-yay. I forgot about that. Steven is in Idaho on Next Radio app, hiding in my room because I caught the damn virus. Oh, Steven.
No.
Oof. Stay in that room. Stay in that room. Matt is in PA. Listening on 96.7 as always. He's working. Brand is in Carlisle, PA, 96.5. About to golf in sweatpants, classy sweats, comfy casual. Hashtag four.
Oh, Romeo, art thou Romeo?
Why are we promoting wearing sweatpants? Is it because Mraz is in this meme in sweatpants working the alpaca farm?
Probably. I'm inspiring a sweatpants generation.
A sweatpants revolution. Matt is in Harrisburg, PA, 96.5. He's just chilling. Doug is listening in Western PA on radio.com. Looking forward to the weekend of yard cleanup, gutter repair, and maybe a few adult beverages with some Steelers football. Beam me up, please.
You ain't got bougie out here. They ain't got bougie.
Man, yard cleanup and gutter repair, you deserve a few beers. And finally, Jeffrey's in Philly listening to the show on radio.com. Having breakfast Loving the takes on Carson Wentz and his struggles. Alpaca farming, eh? Who knew? And that
is rare alpacas.
Rare alpacas.
Fuamatu Mahafala.
And that is your target demo Friday. Connor Green on the drop today. A lot of good ones. Digging them out of the crates. The drops on target demo Friday. So what did we decide on the fail? Is it your monster truck potential?
Yeah, the idea that Skidmark could be the next monster truck driver coming to a rally near you.
Okay, here it is, your epic fail.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
If you're the one that was worried about playing shrimp cocktail by going away to college, I don't think you could use that as your calling card either. Maybe your butt cheeks.
Oh, no.
And don't miss the second annual barbecue Twinkie cook-off.
DA, I gotta run real 1 second. I got an oopsie.
Well, I the other team.
Mario it is.
Yeah, the cap. The Capuanos and the Mariotas.
This is Marcus's great-great-great-great-grandfather.
Mraz actually could be the Thictator as his monster truck.
Oh, I like that. Here comes the Thictator.
Thictator just hit a box!
The naked Thictator. The only nude driver on the circuit. Wait till you see his seat after this.
Well... Skid marks would be a good thing, too.
There it is!
That's a swing!
That's gotta be that.
The first 100 people in the gate get a can of natural light!
DA, I gotta run real 1 second. I got an oopsie.
Or Skid Mark? His name is Mark?
Can you change your name to Mark? Could you be Mark Marash? Would you mind?
Skid Mark!
Sunday!
DA, I gotta run real 1 second. I got an oopsie.
Sunday at the Civic Center. It's Skidmark. Come see your favorite monster truck drivers. Sunday!
DA, I gotta run real 1 second. I got an oopsie.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
And this is how we're going to end off this week's show. This week's show, this week's work is going to be ended off with Mraz being a monster truck driver called Skid Mark. Like he's a garbage pail kid. Or your name could be Oopsie Daisy.
Oh, my heart hurts. No! Oh.
Your heart hurts? Have a Pop-Tart.
So, can we expect you to be drunk again on Sunday night as you make the topic sheet list?
I vowed I'm going alcohol-free Sunday. I can't have a back-to-back week, and there's no Giant game. It's going to be all iced tea and water, I think.
You're not going to have any drinks as you watch Chiefs and Raiders on Sunday night?
Matter of fact, I'm going to put child locks on the fridges that are my TVs in the basement just for this weekend. Saturday night, different story. Rutgers, Michigan might be quite a few pumpkin ales.
So you're really fired up about Rutgers, Michigan, because you can't wait to see if Harbaugh can lose to the Rutgers Scarlet Knights.
Yeah, that's my tasty one this weekend. Big Ten Network Saturday night. If Harbaugh loses to freaking Rutgers, sign me up. That's the greatest storyline of the world next week.
It's true. Maybe I should have added that to the tasty top five just because we're driving by the funeral of Jim Harbaugh as he exits Michigan in disgraceful fashion.
Shiano beating Harbaugh? Give me that. Inject it into me, baby.
Is that in New Jersey or in Michigan?
I thought it was in New Jersey. I believe it's at Rutgers this year. And it's Big Ten Network Saturday night while everybody's watching Oklahoma State. I'll be with
a 12-pack watching Jim Harbaugh fumble his way for Rutgers.
That will do it for us this morning here on the DA Show. Thanks to Connor Green on the Wheels of Steel this morning, doing a great job. Appreciate his help this week. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer of the DA Show. Thanks to Andrew Bogish on your headlines all week long as normal. Thanks to Andrew Kaplan, the Wizard of Watch DA. I will see you for Sunday morning football, 10 a.m. Eastern time. Coming up on Sunday, be good and be good to one another. We'll see you next week. The Mothership Disconnects.
Billy the Big Mouth Bass.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.